Take your Bible and turn with me this morning to John chapter number 3. John chapter number 3. I was studying a little bit this week, and Levi and I were talking. I asked him what he was going to preach today, and he talked about how he was going to preach about the love of God, and I thought, you know, it's Valentine's Day. I believe I will too. And I read some scripture that I can quote with my eyes closed, and probably you can too, and had every intentions of preaching this morning on the love of God. And something just reached out, Brother Charles, and kind of grabbed my attention, and I could not escape it or get away from it. And there's no doubt this morning that God loves us. How many of you know God loves you this morning? God loves you or you wouldn't be sitting here. God loves you or you wouldn't be breathing, amen. We'd be down there at Melrose Cemetery pushing up daisies, amen. Now, thank God He does love us. Now, love requires something, or love desires something. It desires it to be given back. Yes, sir. I love my wife, and I don't know what in the world I'd do if she did not love me back. It's great to love somebody, but it's even greater to be loved. Would you agree?
That's right.
And I believe not only does God love us, but God has a desire that we love Him. The Bible said we love Him because He first loved us. Won't you look at John chapter number 3. I'm going to start reading at verse number 14. The Bible said, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. And he that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." I read four verses this morning. And in those four verses, there is one word that is repeated five times. Believe or believeth. Five times that word is written in John chapter number 3, verses 14 down through 18. I believe belief this morning is of a vital importance. Everybody in this world wants to believe in something. One of the most favorite preachers, or the most famous preachers in America, said it doesn't matter what you believe as long as you believe. Well, that's the stupidest theology I've ever heard in my life. Let's think about it. It doesn't matter what you believe as long as you believe. Apply that to any other area in your life and see how that works out. It doesn't matter what you believe, as long as you believe, as long as you've got faith in something, it doesn't matter. My wife and I are going to New York on Thursday, and if we get to the airport on Thursday morning and we get to our gate and there's an airplane sitting out there that has no wings, and the pilot comes out and says, "It's okay, I believe she'll fly. I'm not getting on that airplane." Somebody say amen right there. It does matter what you believe. That famous preacher was asked the question about the guys who flew the planes into the Twin Towers. Said, "Well, they died for their belief. Will they be in heaven?" He said, "I don't know." I know. It does matter what you believe. Some people have the most serious belief. There are people and religions that they take their belief more serious than you and I do. If you strap a bomb to yourself and blow up yourself and others for the cause of your God, I'd say your belief's pretty strong. Wouldn't you? I ain't blowing up myself for none of y'all. I might blow up two or three of you, but I ain't blowing me up. Amen. I like me. I like me some Eddie White. How about you know what I'm saying? I ain't blowing up me. Now that's pretty serious, man. They take that thing serious. In the jungles of Africa, they said they used to take their firstborn child and feed it to the crocodiles. Can you imagine that? To try to earn your spot in heaven or whatever you call eternity? Take their child and take it down to the river and feed it to a crocodile. That's pretty serious belief right there. Makes me want to get a little more serious about mine. Amen. We go clean out the nursery this morning. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Don't. Chill. I would not dare feed one of our kids to an alligator. But people take this stuff serious. Just about weekly, I see somebody pumping it on a Huffy, wearing a shirt and a tie, and they're riding a bicycle because of what they believe. I'm talking about the Mormons. They dedicate, 2 years, I believe, out of their life. 2 years. I can't get y'all to take off a week for camp meeting. 2 years out of their life. No job, no nothing. They ride that bicycle and peddle their religion because of what they believe. There's not a soul in here that has never had a Jehovah's Witness knock on their door. Let me tell you something. I've lived in the same house for 15 years. Never. I've had a Mormon and I've had Jehovah's Witness. I have never had a Baptist knock on my door. Not one time. Maybe they know. But I've never had a Baptist church come by my house that I know of. Do you? Nope. My wife said no, so you can count that as gospel. Amen. Ain't no Baptist been to our house. Hey, I'm just saying, people take their belief serious. Now, how many of you would shout with me this morning and say, I believe? Amen. I believe what? Exactly what? I hope that picture's up there. Yeah. He came, he died, he lives. Amen. That's our religion. That's our gospel. That's our belief. Brother Freddie said in his Bible class, on the first night of Bible classes this year, he said, the thing that sets Christianity apart from everything else is what we believe about the Scriptures, what we believe about the Son, and what we believe about salvation. Did I get that right? What we believe about the Scriptures, hey, we believe this old King James Bible's God's Word. Amen. We believe it's inspired, inerrant, amen, amen. You say, oh, it's too old-fashioned. Oh, it's just right, amen. Amen. I like it when we all got the same textbook, amen? What we believe about the Scriptures, the Son, and salvation. Five times in the most famous portion of the New Testament, we find that word believe. I've been saved 32 or 33 years. I'm not sure. I'd have to kind of do the math a little bit. There have been times, even though I could raise my hands with you and say, I believe, there have been times when my belief or my faith, if you will, hadn't been what it ought to be.
Yes, sir.
There's days when what we say we believe and what we act like we believe is two totally different things. Can I get a witness right there? Somebody help me. We'll have church this morning. There's times when what's coming out of your mouth and what's coming out of your heart just don't mesh. You say, boy, I've never been like that. Well, I doubt you're really saved. I'm telling you, man, when my son was laying there in the coma, I didn't stand over his bed and say, well, glory to God. I shook my fist at God. I let God have it. Got a little quiet right there. I got bitter and I got angry and I got mad. My faith was not what it ought to be. I took what that doctor said instead of what my Bible said, and I let that set my attitude or my heart. That doctor said he may never wake up. If he wakes up, he may never walk again, and all that kind of stuff that goes with a coma. And boy, I listened to that doctor, and I allowed that to overwhelm my faith. How many of you could honestly say there's times my problems got bigger than my faith? Come on, help me now. There's times when my problems got bigger than my faith. Some of you's faith is only as strong as the balance in your checkbook. I wonder how much we would believe if we hit rock bottom tomorrow. I think Jesus is most pleased when we believe Him no matter what. Did you know no matter what comes in our life, the measure of our faith, it doesn't change God one bit. He's still God. It doesn't matter. I was at the funeral home yesterday. One of our young ladies that rode our bus all her life, to our church, had a two-year-old little boy, had a wreck in Alabama, killed her two-year-old son. She looked me dead in my face. She said, "Preacher, I just don't know why." I had all the answers, of course. If you believe that, you got another thing coming. Brother Freddie, I looked at that little girl and I didn't know what to say. I didn't know what to say. All I knew to say was, well, we just got to trust God. We just got to trust God. That's all we have. There's times when our belief or our faith is shaken. Let me ask you a question. I got a whole lot of message this morning. Don't know how much I'll give you. But I want to ask you a question. I want you to ask yourself this question. Why would God allow our belief or why would God allow our faith or our belief in Him? If you're saved this morning, if you're not saved, well, I hope you'll put some faith in Him this morning. But we who are saved, why would God? We've trusted Him. We've trusted in the blood of Calvary. We've trusted in the death, the burial, the resurrection. We've trusted that. We've believed the Bible. We've come to God by faith. And boy, we got saved. We're on our way to heaven when we die. And then something comes along and just stomps its foot in the face of our faith or our belief. Why would God allow our faith to be challenged? Can I give you the answer? If it's not tested, it's not faith. If it's not tested, it's not belief. You can say you believe all day long. But until that belief is tried, until that belief is tested. Listen, my wife and I have been married, look at me, 32, 3. She don't know either. Whew, sweat. Thank God that got me off the hook, amen. We've been married 32, 33 years, a long time. And when we got married, she said, "I love you." And I believed her. And I told her I loved her. And she believed me. But brother, in 32, 33, 40 years, I don't know. It ain't been 40. However many years it's been, I promise you, my love for her and her love for me has been tested. And it has been tried. There was a day when I said, "I hope she loves me." But now looking back over the years, I can say, Brother Broderick, I know that she loves me. Why? Because of the trials and the test of time. I thought when my children were little, two of them are here this morning, one's preaching. I thought when Ashley and Levi and Katie were kids, I used to lay in bed at night in fear. I thought, when that last one gets married, she gone. When that last one gets married, she'll hit the road, brother. She'll find her somebody that's got money. Because she likes to shop. Amen. Katie, how long you been married, baby? Almost 3 years. She ain't even packed a bag. Hallelujah. You know what I'm trying to say? I'm trying to say now I know she loves me. You remember when God tempted Abraham and asked Abraham to take his son, his only son, who he loved, and take him up on a mountain and offer him there for a sacrifice? Do y'all remember that? And Abraham took Isaac up the side of that mountain and he bound his son on the altar and he drew the knife and was about to chop his son into little pieces and set him on fire. And God said, "Abraham, Abraham." He said, "Don't do it. I know you love me." You know what was happening? his belief, his faith was being tested. And it was being tried. Now, I don't know about you. After all God's done for me, I don't want to fail him. You know what he's done? He's loved me, Brother Charles, no matter what. No matter what I do, no matter how far I go, how low I fall, Brother Freddie, he loves me anyway. And every one of you could say the same thing. He's loved you regardless. He's forgiven you over and over and over and over and over again. Oh, would to God we'd love him that way. Would to God we'd love him that way, no matter what. He loves us no matter what, but then the first bad thing that comes our way. Well, I'm giving up. I'm giving up on God. I'm giving up on church. I just don't feel nothing anymore. Blah, 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 blah. I wonder how the Lord feels. What does his Valentine card look like today? Sometimes our belief is tested. Sometimes it's challenged. And I believe the reason is God wants to know that we love him regardless. God wants to know that we love him regardless. Let me give you several things this morning that our faith or our belief does. That it does for us. It pleases God. But I want to give you a couple things this morning that it does for us. My faith helps me. The more faith I have, the stronger I am. Do you know why you don't want to argue with a Jehovah's Witness or a Muslim? A Muslim cuts your head off. Yeah. Amen. I thought one was going to kill me at Home Depot. I really did. I was in fear for my life. I thought the guy was going to kill me. You know why they're so strong? It's because of their faith. Yeah. They really believe that stuff. Right. And here you and I are with the truth. Here you and I are with the way, the truth, and the life. I'm talking about Jesus. And those of us who are saved need to strengthen our faith. And we need to ask God, like the man in the New Testament, Lord, help me. Help my unbelief. God, make my faith strong like that. We've got the real thing. And our faith ought to be a little bigger than what it is. We don't want to be like the children of Israel, Numbers chapter 14 and verse number 11. The Bible said, and the Lord said unto Moses, how long will this people provoke me, and how long will it be ere they believe me? How long will it be till they believe me? What have I got to do? He said, all the signs I've done. How long will it be before they believe me? What has God got to do to increase your faith? Amen. How many of you had answered prayers? Amen. Just about everybody in this room, man. We've seen God do great and mighty things. And I could go through a list this morning. I won't do that and beat the same old drum. But thank God, we've seen miracle after miracle. I'm talking about humanly impossible things that only God could do. What's he got to do to prove? God said, how long? How long is it going to be? Deuteronomy chapter 1 and verse number 32. He said, yet in this thing you did not believe the Lord your God. Let me tell you something belief is. Belief is profitable. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Believing in God is profitable. It will bless you to put your faith in him. Amen. Would you agree to that? How many of your lives are better that you've placed your faith and your trust in God? Come on. Your life is truly better since you trusted Christ than it was before. You say, wait a minute, I trusted Christ, but I still got problems. Yeah, but now I got Jesus in my problem. I've got somebody who can bear the load I could not bear. I got somebody who can carry the burden that was too heavy for me. I got somebody who knows my every need. Yeah, I got trouble, I got trials, but I got Jesus, I'd have to say. Since I put my faith and my trust in him, my life is better. I have profited. I'm not in this for what I can get, but thank God for what I've got. Amen. My life has profited from trusting Christ as my Savior. It's better. I believe my wife and I are married 32, 33 years because of our faith in Christ. The direction my marriage started. Amen. It wouldn't have made it. But we got saved. And we've profited from that. Our children are in church. Our children have never spent a night in jail that I know of. None of them's ever come home drunk. They've never been in any trouble. Nothing to speak of. They've got some whoopings. Now they probably need some now. Y'all just send them girls back about once a month. I'm gonna spank them, girl. I still got my paddle too. Amen. I believe we've profited because of our faith in Christ. Let me give you some scripture right quick. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20, in verse number 20, the Bible said, "And they rose early in the morning and went forth in the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, 'Hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper.'" I believe it pays to trust Jesus. Let me say it again. I believe it pays to trust Jesus. Have you ever driven by a funeral home and see a name on the sign and very few cars in the parking lot? Now, I'm not judging. Well, I guess maybe in a little bit I am, but I oftentimes ride by there and I see there's nobody there with that family, and I'm thinking, they don't know Jesus. They don't know the Lord, because they'd be a church somewhere. They'd be a church family somewhere to have that parking lot full and be loving on that family in their time of need. I'm telling you, it pays to serve the Lord. Before I got saved, I'd probably been to North Carolina and Alabama and Florida. But wouldn't you say, Mom, that's about it? Since I got saved, I've been all over the world, man. Literally. God's been good. I got friends in almost every state in America. That's pretty cool, ain't it? You know what that is? That's benefits. That's benefits. The Bible says not to forget its benefits. We have benefits from being saved. It is profitable to put your belief in the Lord. Some of you need your belief built up a little bit this morning. Some of you about ready to give up. Somebody about ready to throw in the towel this morning. Hey, you need to reaffirm your faith this morning. You need to realize that God's still bigger than what's aggravating you. Belief is profitable. Belief, I like this. I just started running the word believe and believe and believeth. I started running that word through the Bible. But it's amazing. It's amazing how many times in the scripture you find that. You know why? Because it's necessary. Faith is profitable, belief is profitable, but it also does away with or kills or lessens fear. How many of you are ever afraid? Amen. You get to looking around at this country, it'll scare the socks off of you, man. You get to looking at our world, and it'll scare you, man. There is a lot to be afraid of in this world. But I'm glad because of our belief. Jesus said in Mark chapter 5 and verse number 36, "And as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith to the ruler of the synagogue, 'Be not afraid.'" He didn't stop there. He said, "Be not afraid, only believe." Be not afraid, only believe. John chapter 14 and verse number 1, the Lord said, "Let not your heart be troubled." Trouble, fearful. "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." You say, "Preacher, I'm worried to death about this." Well, start believing. You say, "Oh, you're preaching that name it, claim it." No, I'm saying put your faith in something bigger than you. Put your faith and your trust something bigger than Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton. Lord, we're hurting, ain't we? Y'all okay? Somebody say, "Oh, so-and-so going to get elected and fix America." No, they ain't going to squash a grape, man. Amen. We need God. Yes, sir. We need God. We need to put our faith and our trust. Hey, it needs to come back to one nation under God. Hope, I've said it for years, is not in the White House. It's in the church house. Amen. Somebody said you shouldn't preach politics. I ain't. I'm preaching Jesus. He's bigger than all them. And he's got the answer. Amen. Oh, I'm going to vote. I'm going to vote so I can gripe. Amen. I'm a citizen. That's my duty, and it's yours, and we ought to vote. But don't put your hope in that. That ain't where our hope is. Our hope's in him. Our hope. I'm worried, brother, preacher. I'm worried about this. I guarantee you somebody got worry pills in their pocketbook. I don't know what you call them. Antidepressants, I guess. Worry pills, nerve pills. I ain't beating up on you. If I had one, I'd eat one every now and then. Amen. Especially when we got all five of our grandkids. I'd like, Lord, give me a pill. Amen. I love it when they come and I love it when they go. Amen. I'm kidding. You better not never let them not let them kids come. We love it. We love it. But boy, I'm telling you, it's times, man, your nerves, you just get, ooh. And all the stuff piles up and all the issues of life, man. It'll worry the fire out of you. We're human. But Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe in me. Amen. Belief is profitable. Belief does away or attacks or kills or lessens our fear. Let me give you another one. Belief makes the impossible possible. My Bible said with God, how many things are possible? Anybody know? With God, all things are possible. Somebody told me the other day, said, preacher, my marriage is over. Not if you'll let God handle it. Amen. Preacher, our marriage is over. It's done, kaput. There's no hope for it. That's because you don't have your trust in the right place. You're trusting in what you can do. You're trusting in what he can do or she can do. You're trusting in what Oprah said or Dr. Phil said. Hey, you better run to Dr. Jesus and put your faith in him. Amen. With him, all things are possible. My granddaddy used to say, if he can't fix it, it ain't broke. Now, that's just old good Southern wisdom right there. If he can't fix it, it ain't broke. I won't ask you to raise your hand, but I wonder how many of you come in with something this morning on your mind, in your heart, that you think, boy, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to handle this. I don't see no way out. Belief makes the impossible possible. Mark chapter 9 and verse 23. The Lord said to a fella, if thou canst believe. What's the next thing he said? All things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. He said, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believe. I wonder who's got an impossibility this morning. I wonder who's got an impossible situation for a God who specializes in the impossible. You've got people who specialize. I got a new Chevrolet truck. Somebody say amen right there. Amen. Hallelujah. I got a new Chevrolet. Let me say that again. It just tasted good. I got a new Chevrolet truck. Amen. I love my truck. I pray for you guys that drive them Fords every day. I look for you on the side of the road everywhere I go. Amen. Brother Joey come in this morning and told me he got him a new Dodge yesterday with big diesel in it. I like that. Amen. Something happens to my truck, I ain't taking it to the Ford place. I'm taking it to somebody who knows how to work on a Chevrolet. People specialize in different areas. Amen. And we take our problems and we take our broken things to people who specialize in that specific area. I'm glad I've got a God this morning who specializes in impossible situations. I love it when God does stuff and people just go, wow. Yeah. I loved it when God healed Ashley of her cancer and her own cancer doctors went, boy, that had to be God. Yeah. We had you wrote off for dead. They did. They told her to get a video camera and make memories for her kid. They didn't expect her to live. Had no hope for her living. There she sits. How many years? Ashley, how many years now? Six? Seven. July. 7 years, cancer free, holding a baby they said she couldn't have. Woo! Impossible. Impossible. Impossible with man. But with God, all things are possible. Belief is profitable. Belief tears down our fears. Well, I'm telling you, faith is a powerful thing. It's a powerful thing. Faith makes the impossible possible. Now, I want to talk about another impossibility. It is impossible without faith. It is impossible without belief to know that you're going to heaven when you die. You say, well, I don't believe in Jesus. Well, you're not going to heaven when you die. Well, I believe there's many ways to heaven. That's foolish. That's foolish. Is there many ways to Atlanta? No. There's a couple of ways you can go and get there. But you can't get there going that way. Are you listening? You'd be crazy to believe that. Well, you can just go any way you want and it'll get you there. No, it won't. My wife and I are going to New York Thursday. As bad as I hate to go to New York in February. I think it was zero there, Brother Carl said this morning. What? I feel a virus coming on. They have to cancel that meeting. Brother Freddie, you go take my place. Amen. You would. Cold. We're going to get on a plane Thursday morning. But if we get on one that says Miami... Sounds like a good idea right now. If we get on one that says Miami, it ain't going to Rochester. It does matter where you put your belief. And it does matter where you put your faith. I'm going to try to wrap this up this morning. Faith and belief is necessary for eternal life. John chapter 1 and verse number 12, the Bible said, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them, watch this, that believe on his name. He didn't add anything to that. He didn't say to him that believe on his name and get baptized. He didn't say to him that believe on his name and speak in tongue. I had a guy argue with me a while back, argued with me and said speaking in tongues was necessary for salvation. There is not a verse of Scripture in this Bible that even hints that direction. Not one. I said, give me a verse. And he kept, now you're getting mad, kept arguing. I said, just give me a verse. Well, my preacher, I don't give a flip what your preacher said. I don't care if he's green and got purple polka dots. I don't care if he's got fire coming out of his head. I don't care. Amen. Give me a verse. Well, 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 he couldn't do it. You know why? Because there ain't one. He didn't add anything to it. Listen, salvation is this simple. Put your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ. You say, well, that's just one verse of Scripture. Well, let me give you John chapter 3 and verse number 36. Amen. The Bible said, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Can it get any more simple than that? Right. Believe on Jesus, you're going to heaven when you die. Don't believe him, you ain't. Amen. I know that's a little cotton patch, but that's all right. Because it is that simple. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me, John chapter number 14. There's no way around him. He is the door. If you came in this sanctuary this morning, you had to come in a door. Now, unlike the sanctuary, heaven's only got one. Jesus didn't say, I am a way. He said, I'm the way. He didn't say, I am a door. He said, I am the door. To enter in, you've got to go through Him. We're still doing all right this morning? It ain't as late as I thought it was. John chapter 5 and verse number 24. He said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, watch this, and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation but is passed from death unto life. Wow. Belief in faith is necessary for going to heaven when you die. Now, there is a difference in saying you believe something and acting on it. I've given the analogy of Advil 1,000 times. If you got a headache, Advil will help it. Would you agree? Amen. Having Advil sitting in the cabinet and a headache in your head and knowing Advil will help it won't do it alone. Would you agree? You've got to go and get the Advil and put it in your mouth, right? Amen. And swallow it. You've got to get it in you. If you're going to heaven when you die, you're going to have to get Jesus in you. Amen. You're not just going to say, yeah, I believe Him. I believe He rose from the dead. I believe He died for my sin. Hey, you're going to have to put your faith in that. And you're going to have to put your trust in that. Some people struggle with their salvation, whether or not they're really born again, whether or not they're really going to heaven when they die. You know what that is? It's a faith issue. It's a faith issue. Somebody, somewhere, has got you convinced that you're not good enough. Right. And by the way, you're not.
Amen, preacher.
You're not good enough for heaven. Amen. Neither am I. Neither is the Pope nor nobody else. Amen. None of the Bible said there's none good. No, not Amen. One. All our righteousness is as filthy rags. Yes. There's nothing good about us. Amen. It's Him. Yes, sir. I'm putting my faith in His righteousness. I'm borrowing what I don't have from him who has plenty. He is imputed unto me. That means put to my account His righteousness. I'm not going to heaven because of what I've done. And neither are you. Somebody said, well, if I write a big check and put it in an offering plate, it'll help us, but it won't help you. I mean, the Lord may bless you for it, but you ain't going to heaven because of it. Amen. There are people who think they're going to heaven because their name's on some roll at a church somewhere. Because they were baptized when they were little. Or they got all these reasons why they'll go to heaven when you die. It's just our bus workers slipping out. Don't pay them no mind. Hey, listen, you'll go to heaven when you die because you put your faith in Christ. Amen. Do you know there's people on death row this morning? Going to heaven when they die. Some preacher came by the jail and preached to them and they trusted Christ. He said, I don't believe a prisoner gets saved. You got another thing coming. You sitting in a church full of them this morning. Amen. It ain't because of our goodness. It's because of His goodness. I wanted so bad to preach on the love of God. Here's the question. Do we love Him? Do we love Him? We'll sing, oh, how I love Jesus. Boy, we'll sing it with all our heart, but do we really? Amen. What have you done to prove your love for Him? Amen. Hadn't He done enough to prove His love for you? I run into people all the time who say, I used to go to church. We used to go here and we used to go there, but this happened and that happened. Boy, I'm glad Jesus didn't take that attitude. Amen. Well, I came to forgive your sins. I came that you might go to heaven when you die, but they put a crown of thorns on my head. They mocked me. They called me a devil. My own kindred didn't even want me. So I'm just quitting. No, he didn't. He went all the way. Miss Tess sung it this morning. What love is this, man? What kind of love is that? He went all the way for you. Even in the midst of our troubles and our trials, couldn't we bear a little bit for him? Couldn't we take one for him? Couldn't we look over somebody's fault or somebody's failure for him? After all, he's looked over us. Do you believe this morning? I believe with all my heart. I had a bunch more. I promise you, I got 15 more verses of scripture right here. How you believe is very important. It is vital. Not just to your life, and it is vital to your life now. But it's vital to your life after you die. You're going to spend eternity somewhere. Heaven or hell, one of the two. And it's all going to be determined by where you put your faith and where you put your trust. I know people are putting their faith in how many guns and ammunition they got. I got some too, but that ain't where my faith's at. I know people who are putting their faith in how much food they've got stocked up. That ain't where my faith is. My faith is in Jesus Christ. Let's stand to our feet. Brother Todd, y'all come and get us a song this morning.